Bad on Bears fans, Friday edition of the Chicago Bears podcast. Pat the designer, John Yurkovich, the good kid, is in the building. Yurko, it's not trending in the right direction this season. We got Bajent talk. We do have a defense that looks like they're starting to get it together. Want to get your thoughts on some of the things that we saw from the defense as well. And the Olympics are coming, and the NFL's encouraging players to go. But for what sport? We'll talk about all that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. You know what to do. Yurk, how you feeling, good kid?
I'm feeling great. I'm fantastic. Yeah, a little disgruntled after the game, obviously. A very winnable game. Yeah. This game that was played by two teams that looked like nobody wanted to win.
It looked like a 1-4 game.
Yeah.
It looked like a game.
Somebody had to win, and nobody really wanted to reach out and grab it.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit disheartening. I thought it was a game ripe for the Bears to find a way to win their first game at home this year. It would have been nice. Unfortunately for the Bears, they didn't do it. They broke down just enough times to allow the Minnesota Vikings enough plays to go ahead and win the darn thing. And I even thought at the end with Bajent, coming back, driving the ball to about the 45-yard line.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. I go, they can win this thing. They can win this thing. And then lo and behold, they found a way to lose, which is what they've been doing for an extended period of time. And when you create the habit of losing, you create the habit of losing. Even though you got the first pick and you got DJ Moore and you got everything, you got to break out of that. You got to break out of that. And they still haven't found a way to break out of it. There's 3-4 games this year that the game was a game in the fourth quarter, and they just found a way to piddle it down their pant leg, and that's where they're at. And if Eberflus can't find a way to turn that around with his guys, then they're going to be in trouble. And that's just the way it is. Listen, you can't go a 3-win season, expect to see some sort of progress, win 4 or 5 games, and think things are going to be okay. Things will not be okay.
Yeah.
There's also games late in the season that are winnable games. Late in the season.
The game we have coming up.
Right, right. But I'm saying, what usually happens is you get to the end of the season. Some teams have already decided to quit like the Bears did last year.
Yeah.
You got 4 games at the end of the year that are very winnable games. What happens if you win those 4 games going into the end of the year? Has then Eberflus convinced you that, oh, my God, he's turned this thing around?
Right.
Or do I look at those 4 games knowing those are winnable, but I crap the season away here early?
Yeah.
And when you needed Eberflus to be the guy to coach this team and to get them out of their funk, he wasn't able to do it. So those are the questions that are going to be asked. And now I get to watch Bajent.
Yeah.
I get to watch a makeshift running game behind I got 3/5 of a line when Nate Davis gets back. I got 3/5 of a line. So I'm heading to having a solid offensive line, but I don't have a solid offensive line yet. Because 3/5 of a line is not an offensive line. You got to have 5. And for one reason or another, Whitehair, be it injuries, be it whatever, be it getting older, whatever, he's not as effective as he once was. So he's been benched. Jatire Carter is going to play for Davis, I believe.
Yeah.
Borum's out at left end, and Borum is at best a makeshift swing tackle, guy that can play both, break glass in case of emergency. Certainly not a guy that you want out there for 70 plays a game. So that's where you find yourself at your offensive line. But now it's all about the quarterback. Let's see if Bajent can make this offense, this Luke Getsy offense, look like an offense where you can throw the ball around, hit a bunch of different receivers. Let's see if this offense can play like the offense they wanted to play like.
How much of a difference from a defender standpoint does it make if the center is snapping the ball like what we saw from Cody Whitehair? If you're standing across from Cody Whitehair and he's giving you that split second of, I got a little more time to get to the quarterback, how much easier does that make?
What are you saying? Just an off snap?
How does he snap it a little bit high?
Any sort of dysfunction with an offensive line is an advantage for the defense.
Right.
Any sort of dysfunction that you can have. Once the ball hits the ground, though, nobody's entitled to a sack. It's called an aborted play. So, as a defensive lineman, you get excited as long as it doesn't hit the ground, because then you can't get a sack. But any time a dysfunction that disrupts the offensive rhythm of the play is good for the defense, period. That's it.
Yeah, it was a lot of that. And I think, to me, the biggest change we saw, and what I guess gets me, I don't know if I want to say excited, but it makes me feel like Bajent's transition will be a little bit easier, is they made the switch. To me, they made the switch too late. Should have made the switch at half. Cody Whitehair was terrible in the first half. He was terrible in the third quarter. They make the switch to Lucas Patrick. All of a sudden, you're moving down the field, and we heard Flus on with Waddle and Sylvie talking about how, the center says to protection. Protection looked off all day.
We had bigs guarding smalls. Well, we had all
the first play of the game. I don't think it was a problem. The first play of the game, they called a rip call. Your quarterback wasn't cognizant of the fact of what was happening,
right?
Which is unfortunate. It's almost like he didn't know they blitz 56% of the time. It's almost like he got the snap, just dropped back, and he's like, oh, I got all the time in the world. Yeah. No, you got six up front. You got an empty backfield. You got five guys coming. The quarterback has to realize what the hell is going on. Offensive line was on their page. The only guy that didn't know what the hell was going on was the quarterback.
Yeah.
So that's on the quarterback. Here's the other thing. For one reason or another, they designed the pass blocking that way. Because when you look at what happened on the interception right before the half, there's no hesitation out of right. Right goes to the outside to block the safety. The running back goes inside to block the guy that's over the, you know, that was over him. Mm. He goes inside. He goes to set. For some reason or another, they designed a concept that was like that because nobody wasn't on the same page. They were all on the same page. I don't know who the hell would do that and who would design that, whether it's Luke Butkus or whether it's Luke Getsy. One of the Lukes is wrong here. You would never have a running back blocking a defensive lineman. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But if you did, say you did, for shits and giggles, you decide that's what you wanted to do. Well, you got to have a badass running back in there. A guy that's not afraid to go in there, square a guy up, and use his leverage and his diminutive size to be able to get up under those pads and get him up. And all you needed was an extra half a second there in that situation. And say you ain't got a guy with big nuts and big balls. Say you got a running back that's a little bit timid.
Yeah.
All I ask him then to do is charge forward and saw the guy in half. Saw him in half, get him to the ground. That's going to give me enough time to go ahead and do it. So
you didn't have any of those.
I wouldn't design my pass protection that way.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that nobody has done pass blocking that way in the past. Okay? So it's not a concept that's like nobody's ever utilized, but there have been some badass mamma jammas at the running back position that aren't going to allow themselves. Well, first, they're not going to turn their shoulders and say, hey, right behind me. Let me open up the door. You know? You're not going to have that. So that's disappointing because at crunch time, when you needed blocking the most, they seem to fail miserably. And then when you look at it, it's like, what the hell is going on?
Watching the All-22, I swear that's the hardest part after like a game like this. It's just like, I have to actually study this now because this is what I do for work every day. Yeah. So let me ask you this then. So you believe this is taught. Flus said we do not teach our guys that way. Yeah. We go bigs on bigs, small on small.
He's full of it because obviously they were in lockstep together.
Yeah.
They were in lockstep.
It looked smooth.
Right to where he was going, he went in lockstep. You just can't depend upon a running back to block a defensive lineman. The big on big philosophy is what I said right after the game. I don't know what's going on. Well, my preference is, and the adage I've always gone by, is big on big.
Right,
you got
five
offensive linemen blocking four big guys. And then you can have one on a linebacker if he's blitzing, and your running back's got to be on somebody if they're blitzing. And usually the concept in slide protection is three guys taking care. No, what is it? Hold on. It's three guys blocking two and three guys blocking two when you keep the running back in the slide protection. If the running back doesn't see any threat, he usually loops out and he becomes the swing guy. So that's what you usually have, three on two, three on two. You can handle six.
Right.
Six are coming. You got that blocking scheme for the six. But if you go empty backfield, you don't have it. And so exactly the way Eberflus described it. You get the slap, snap, you got a rip call, you got to float with the line a little bit. Now, he's got to buy himself another two steps and then hit DJ Moore right in the flat.
Yeah.
It's simple. It was easy.
He's still missing.
At the beginning, I didn't see which routes were run, but once I got a chance to see it, I'm look, both of these guys, little sticks, little 5-7 yard, just a stick, throw the ball.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah, and that's been the biggest question around Justin this entire time. I mean, it is because now, right, we get to the backup quarterback and we get to the backup quarterback, in my opinion, on a play that Justin Fields caused on himself. You're standing back there 6 seconds. You're holding on to the ball. Yeah. There's got to be some kind of internal clock that goes off in your head
right.
that goes, hey, I've been back here a while. maybe I should use my athleticism, or maybe I should dirt this one and get the heck up out of here.
Wait, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000,
4,000.
Okay. I'm holding this thing for a long
time. You know what I mean?
And so, I haven't been able to make a decision to throw. Here's the disappointing thing. He had 7 quarters in 2 games where he looked like a competent quarterback.
Uh-huh.
And I always say replication of performance. So now he repeated it. He had 3 out of 4. Then he repeated it against the Commodores. He had another good 4 quarters. And so now you got 7 out of 8. Now I'm looking for him to go. Commanders.
What's the name of the team? What's the
Commanders, Washington. He had 4 good quarters against the Commanders. I always say the Commodores. I love the Commodores. Who doesn't?
That's a great group.
Four times.
You just caught me off guard with that.
Yeah, they're all great. So either way, that's what he had, right? And now you're looking for replication of performance, and I didn't get the replication of performance.
Yes.
And it started with the first play.
Yeah.
Almost like I haven't even looked at the playbook. I didn't watch 1 ounce of film from the Minnesota Vikings. I'm just going to come out here, and I'm going to freewheel it. I'm just going to go at it. And now, obviously, he studied. Obviously, he knew they were running blitzing
50
times. Obviously, he knew. But why didn't he do what he was supposed to do? I have no idea. But we didn't get a replication of performance. If anything, we got a reboot back to the struggles of earlier this year and last year. And that's not good. It's not good.
You got to find some answers there at the quarterback position. We get Bajent this week. I don't know if that's going to be any answers here. But you've played with a number of backup quarterbacks in your day. How do you ease these guys in, make their lives easier?
First of all, you don't. Secondly, if you can establish the run, you make life a little bit easier for these guys. I played Jonathan Quinn, Jamie Martin were backup quarterbacks for us down in Jacksonville. Rob Johnson went up to Buffalo and won a pretty good game for us. No, it was Baltimore. We played Baltimore Ravens in old Baltimore Memorial Stadium, the old baseball field. We played him there, and Rob Johnson came out and won a pretty important game for us there. In Green Bay, Favre was the starter. They only pulled him once, and they pulled him to play Brunel against the Minnesota Vikings up in Minnesota. Brett was ineffective. He had hurt his hip. Bruni came in there. It didn't go much better. Henry Thomas, Roy Barker were on the line, Chris Dolman, and John.
Oh, he had a bad day.
And John Randall.
He had a bad day.
And then John Randall's over there barking. Rawr, 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 and then the guys over there, and then Frankie and Harry Galbraith and Doug Wydell, they're trying to settle everything down in there, but couldn't always settle things down. But, yeah, no, I've had a handful of backups play over the course of time, and I've had backups win games.
Yeah.
They come in and win games. What usually happens with a backup quarterback is they get a couple of weeks of film on them, and then they kind of figure out what the backup quarterback does, like Fitzpatrick when he used to come in. Oh, it's Fitzmagic. It's Fitzmagic until the third game. They got 2 games on him. They watch what he likes to do.
They usually get about 8 in there. You get about 8.
They say the 2 are good. And then the rest of them, they're on the struggle bus. So, but no, that's what they
can do. He'd have a half a season every year where you'd be like, this guy's an elite quarterback.
If they can establish a little bit of a run.
Yeah.
You know, he can move too. Bajent's not.
He's not slow.
He's not a statue.
He's not a 4.4, right. But he's also not.
He's not a statue.
A 4.9.
Let's see if there's any difference in the way he runs the offense. Let's see if the ball gets out any quicker. I know in the preseason you saw the ball get out quicker. This isn't the preseason, though. This is the regular season.
Yeah.
And regular season's no joke. They're going to bring all types of funk at you. And if they think you struggle with the blitz, they're going to bring the blitz.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to worry about Crosby, and the offensive line's going to have to know exactly where he's at. They move him around. So that's what you're going to have to do. You got to be stout, preferably in the middle, and give Bajent a chance to climb the pocket if the pressure is going to come from the edges. And we'll see if it's different. If he gets rid of the ball, I mean, only time will tell.
You've talked about a lot, right? Coming into the game for the first time, getting that opportunity as a young player, and how fast the game is moving. How does Luke Getsy and this offense help the game slow down a little bit quicker for him, because he's not going to get a chance to just adjust into this one? He's getting thrust in versus Max Crosby, who's going to be in.
This is what he has, though. He got thrust into the game last week.
Yep.
This week he's got a full week of preparation. He's got a full week of, hey, this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to get all the reps. I'm going to see a lot of the looks. I'm going to go through that process. So as he's going through that process, that's what he's going to have. So he's got a whole week of preparation going into this game. He didn't have that last game. He got thrown in cold, and it's like, hey, time to perform.
Figure it out.
And now you're through his brain, he's running, because you're in relaxed mode over there. You're still going through the game, and you're going through the plays, and you're saying, okay, let's see what's the coverage. this is where the football should be. Let's see if we can get the football there. You're doing that on the sidelines. But now then all of a sudden you get in a game. Now it's for real. Now you're not seeing it from the sidelines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now you're in there, and you might have to run for your life. And so at least now he's got a week to prepare. That's what's the best thing for him. This week, full of repetitions going into this game. And then, you know, hopefully, like I said, you'll know you got yourself something going if he's got four or five different receivers of the ball and he's distributing it to the open man and he's distributing in the right time frame.
Yeah.
That's what you're hoping for.
The one thing that I've said is I want Justin to be successful here, but there hasn't been a ton of success. Right? We're five wins, hasn't had a bunch of games. We saw the two games where he threw the football elite, hasn't had a bunch of games where you look at it and go, this guy is consistently going to be this level of elite quarterback. Is this Tyson Bagent's possible job to win, especially knowing that if things don't go well here for Flus, he's probably out of here by the end of the season.
For Tyson Bagent, this is a chance to impress the league. That's what this is a chance for. Not necessarily win the game and win the job here in Chicago. It's his chance to impress the league. Same way Purdy got an opportunity, came in and did what? He impressed the league.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Jimmy Garoppolo became expendable and Trey Lance became expendable.
Yeah.
So that's what his job is. His job is to go out here, fly by the seat of his pants and do the best job he can to impress the world that he could be a starting quarterback in the NFL. So that's the opportunity he gets. Justin Fields, when he gets a chance, there's question marks. He's got to answer the questions, whether he likes it or not.
Yeah.
He's got to answer the questions. What has Justin Fields impressed the NFL with?
His legs.
Right. His ability to run.
Yeah.
His ability to bring it down and be a dynamic playmaker via his legs and off of his legs and on broken plays. Because on broken plays, he's pretty good. You know, when he buys himself a little bit of time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom, a receiver pops free and he finds the open receiver. So with his legs being dynamic on the run and with his legs buying himself some time, not getting past the line of scrimmage and throwing some balls. I mean, that's where he's been dynamic. He hasn't been dynamic in the historic sense of being able to get the ball in the shotgun, hitting the back foot, and firing the ball in rhythm, in 2.5 seconds.
Right.
Hadn't been able to do that.
And I think that's the part that – that's the part that confuses me about scheme on top of it, right? Because I feel like there were a lot more short routes in the last two games than what we saw in the Vikings game. And in Justin in general, right? Because it seemed like in the last two games, that clock was there. The ball was out 2.7 seconds, I believe, was the most amount of time he had held the ball in those last two games. Like, that's what you want to see from him. The quick decisions. Okay, hey, there's nothing there. I'm gone. We got to go. We haven't seen that. That's why, to me, Tyson Bagent gets this opportunity because in his first run, right, he's letting the football fly. There's not a lot of options.
Right. Your dilemma and your problem with, you know, what you did the last two games, first play of the game was perfect for him to get rid of the ball in 2.7 seconds. And he didn't.
Yeah.
He held on to it. Like he didn't know what was going on.
Exactly.
That's the problem. So no matter what you design, if it's not going to be executed and, you know, the coaches won't throw a player under the bus, but when they look at film, every one of those players knows what should have happened.
Yeah.
When I played, I knew whose fault it was. Now, you didn't say it. You just kind of acknowledge it and you go on about your business.
Yeah.
And when it's your fault, you're going to have to wear it. Sometimes the coach replays it again.
Poor week for Cody Whitehair.
Yeah. sometimes you get the, you know, you get your lunch eaten and then guess what? They get to sit there and they get the blank with you. But those guys do it with each other. There's a camaraderie there. It's when we see it, you know, with social media now, the Cody Whitehair thing blocking nobody than blocking his teammate.
Oh,
that happens more often than you realize.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We always had the old adage was, it was funny, that coach would yell at us, he goes, go out there and hit somebody. He goes, even if it's your own teammate, just hit somebody. He goes, don't go out there and do nothing. So, we used to crack up. And what he meant was look for somebody to engage.
Yeah.
Go out there and play. And sometimes you end up hitting your own guy.
So that you don't show up on the field.
When I saw it, I laughed.
Yeah.
I know it happened more than once.
Yeah.
You know, when we watch films, we're watching the offense. So you see the offense screwing up sometimes, and you see certain things, and you just start giggling and laughing. I go, and I hope they play that way against us.
Yeah.
So
that's probably what Vegas is saying right now.
But, oh yeah, they're licking their chops. Vegas looking to get healthy against the Chicago Bears.
The one problem they may have though is I haven't seen any update on Jimmy G. I have no idea if his back is good or not. I think he's probably not going to play.
They're not going to tell you something specific about his back. He didn't practice yesterday.
Right.
So if you got a feeling, if you're not going to practice on a Wednesday, if you can't practice Wednesday, usually you're not going to go.
You're not going to play. Yeah.
Right. So if he misses practice again today, I'd really say there's no way he could play on Sunday unless they just don't care.
Yeah.
Unless he needs it. Now, whether it's muscular or skeletal, I don't know what issue he's got in his back. But I'm just
took him to the hospital and we're like, he avoided serious injury. So yeah, they must have thought that it was a serious spinal injury or something.
I watched the play. He didn't get hit.
It was nothing.
Right.
I was looking for something. It was
that's why to me it screened muscular.
Yeah.
You know, something that
tightened him up on.
Or he could have got a knock on it a couple plays earlier, and then the back started to tighten up to kind of protect the area.
Yeah.
Which happens.
Right.
Muscle guarding. It's called muscle guarding. The muscle starts to guard an area that might be in a little bit unstable, have some instability, and then the muscles tighten up around it to help protect the area. So that could have happened too.
The one thing is I'd say they probably won't throw him out there because I got to give credit to this. The defense looks like it's moving in the right direction here.
Well, yeah. I mean, okay. So let's give the offense or the defense a little bit of credit. They started rushing the passer. They started getting the quarterback. They're starting to stop the run.
Yeah.
Statistically, they're a little bit better in all places. The defensive scoring, I got to subtract 21 points because the offense is responsible for 3 touchdowns. So, yeah, I think they're heading in the right direction, yes. But a team in dysfunction, right? The offense works, the defense doesn't.
Yeah.
The defense worked, the offense doesn't. The offense and the defense work, the special teams blows it to hell for you. That's a team that's in dysfunction. You've got to get a team that's like playing the way it needs to play where all 3 facets of the game are in good shape. And the fourth phase is crap. If you win, they're going to cheer you. They're going to love you. If you're not winning, they're going to boo the living hell out of you. So don't ask for the fourth phase to cheer. When you win, the fourth phase cheers. When you lose, they're going to boo you because you deserve to be booed. Why?
Yeah, I mean, and when Bajan was in there moving down the field, guess what?
You love
the fourth phase. Let's go. Everybody on your feet. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Do you like the development we're seeing out of the young guys on the D-line right now? Zach Pickens, Javon Dexter,
again,
starting to get a little more pressure.
We're 6 games in. I promise you, 15 games in, they're going to be a lot better. I promise you, with the full season of off-season training and getting 1 year older and getting stronger and understanding a little bit more of the nuances of the league, I promise you, then they're going to be better also. I still think Pickens is ahead of Dexter.
Yes, I agree.
That's the way I feel.
I agree with you.
Pickens is ahead of Dexter right now. We need to get Dexter kind of he's got to have that charge mentality. I think he's got the body type and he's got the physical attributes to be a guy like, and he had it coming out of college. So it's hard to compare him to him, but I am saying he was a 3 technique. Santana Dotson.
Mm.
I don't know if you remember Santana Dotson. Santana Dotson get after the quarterback. More importantly, Santana Dotson played the run like a monster. When we acquired him in Green Bay, that was the end of me. Yeah. I knew it. Yeah. It's okay. Life goes on.
But he showed up, you were like
a new home, you know?
He showed up,
you're
like,
what it allowed them to do is put Gilbert at the nose, and Gilbert was a much better nose tackle than I was. Mm. It's just the fact.
Yeah.
Gilbert was 330 pounds. Gilbert was about 6'2". Gilbert was hard to move. So between the two of them, Gilbert and Santana, it was like the perfect combination of 3 technique and nose tackle you can have, which allowed Reggie to do what Reggie wanted to do, allowed Sean to do what Sean wanted to do. But they were always missing the pass rush from the 3 technique. Now, I was never in on the pass rush of the 3 technique. I was on the bench. I only played 30% of the plays, you know? 3 out of 10, 70 plays. I played 21, 24 plays a game. I was a starter, but I didn't play the most plays because when they'd go into pass formations, they'd be in there. But that's what Dexter can become, and that's what you got to kind of think of. And if it was me, and I just thought of this today, if it was me as the defensive line coach, I would get a whole crap load of Santana Dotson film, and I would show it to Dexter. And I'd say, this is who you are. This is who you can be. because the body styles are similar.
Right.
And this is what we, this is where we need to get you. This is what your goal is. And then, boom, if he can get there, if he can get 75% of the way there,
yeah,
I think he'll be a pretty damn good defensive
tackle. They're both it's a
Santana Dotson, though.
And
then Santana was a player. Ooh, Santana could play.
It's a slow progression with them. I think
Carlos Santana, though. I want you to know that, too. Carlos can play, too, on the guitar. He was good. All the Santanas out in the world.
Played by Carlos Santana.
Yeah. Top notch.
I love it. Let's finish it off here, Yerk.
Let's do
the pod. Interesting. You got to get a sandwich. You got to do a radio show. You got to get a little important.
We had diversity training a little bit earlier today.
That's why you brought up Carlos Santana. Was he doing it?
Was
Carlos Santana?
He may have. I was 50 minutes in. 50 minutes in.
So Yerk, the NFL.
I had to go to work, though, unfortunately.
The NFL is encouraging their players to play in the Olympics flag football league.
Well, yeah, to put a team together to go out there for the USA. Yeah. No, that makes sense. You know, if they're going to allow professionals to go in there, so what happens if they get hurt, though?
There's going to be some hamstrings.
It's all good. Country until you get hurt, and then all of a sudden your contract's null and void.
Then we got the XFL players going.
Remember
over
Robert Edwards? Who's the guy that got hurt playing sand football out in Hawaii? Falk. Was it Kevin Falk? Was it Robert Edwards? New England Patriots player, rookie.
Yeah.
Was out in Hawaii. He was playing sand football. He almost lost his leg.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Playing flag football on the sand. And he went up to catch a pass. His foot he landed. It got stuck in the sand and it twisted around. Kind of like our guy, the tight end that we had here in San Diego that had his knee go to smithereens. Not in San Diego, New Orleans. Zach Miller. Yeah, kind of like Zach Miller.
Yeah.
That kind of Robert Edwards is the guy. There you go. So, it's all fun and games. Go play in the Olympics. It's 2028.
Yeah. 2028.
Or it's 2028. Go play in the Olympics. Oh, you got hurt. Sorry. So, just be
a little bit of a game that they're playing there. Yeah.
And it's not like any big guy's going to be able to go play, right?
Is there blocking in flag football? Like, is there going to be some blocking there?
No,
are we just going all position and quarterback?
I'm going to have you know, in Calumet City, we played flag football. I was in second grade. I played flag football, 7 years old. And it was like 9 and under. And there was a team of girls.
Shelly Keenan, Kesslin, Jody something or another. Good athletes from Schrum. They're in our area. Maybe Uber. We're playing in a championship game. We got a pretty good squad. We're mostly second graders. They're all fourth graders. They kicked our ass. I'm telling you, they kicked
our ass. Memorial Park,
because nighttime was October or November, so it gets dark at 4:30 like it does
now. Yeah.
And they're running up and down the sideline. Shelby Keenan's the quarterback, pitching to Kesslin. It was ridiculous. I'm trying to get a flag. We got a second place trophy. There's a little football. I threw in the garbage.
It stuck with you.
You're getting a second place trophy. We finished second. We didn't finish first.
Yeah.
You know which? When I was a swimmer, you know which ribbons I kept? The blue ones.
Yeah.
The blue ones because you were a champion.
Yeah.
I get a red one. I got a green one one time. You know what green's for?
You showed up.
Fifth place.
Ugh.
Who's the fifth place ribbon for swimming?
You showed up.
Yeah. The blue ones. When I won, give me the blue one. I put the blue ones up.
Well, you
never finished second. Oh, I finished second a lot. They're all in the garbage. How about third? Yeah, they're in the garbage right next to them.
You talk about second place. Who's the country that can actually compete with America in flag football here?
Germany, probably.
A little Australia, a little rugby action.
Maybe Australia. But remember, flag football is totally unique to itself.
Yeah.
It's not physical. It's more about speed. It's more about, you know, you got 5-6 guys in a pattern. So, it's a speed thing. So anybody who's got speed will be able to compete. So, and you never know. Like, I could play, if they're bringing flag football, I can join a team of Croatians and play.
Yeah.
You know, because my parents and my grandparents were from over there. So I could play for Bosnia-Herzegovina. I could play from Croatia.
Yeah.
So you could put a team of Americans that have played football, put them together and go out there and represent Bosnia and Herzegovina. Say, hey, We're not going to tax you or Croatia. Yeah. We're not going to tax you. We're not, just give us the jerseys, and we'll represent your country proudly. And we'll make everybody learn the national anthem. That way, if we win a medal, we have to be able to sing the national anthem. Uh-huh. Right? Isn't that fair? Like, so you could have that. That could be an angle that you take a look at. Canada's got some NFL players.
Yeah.
You got some players whose parents.
Chase Claypool, a high point of football there.
Parents and grandparents might have been in Canada, were yeah. citizens. So you've got that when it comes to the Olympics also.
It'll be interesting to yeah. see. Yerk, I hate to ask you this.
I got
to
go.
Because you got to go. What's your prediction for this game Sunday?
It's not going to be good. I hope Beijing surprises. I hope Beijing finds a way to get it done. 24-21 to Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if they're not going to change what they've been doing, they're going to find a way to lose in the fourth quarter. That's what yeah. they've been doing. So we'll see if Bajit and the rest of the boys can find a way to figure it out. I hope they do. I want to talk about a victory. I want to feel good about myself on Sunday.
It was a fun 10 days.
When I'm driving home to Northwest Indiana, I want to have a smile on my face. I want the food to go down and for it to be edible. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, it was a fun 10 days, that yep. one win we got.
Yep.
Hey, we appreciate you guys for tuning in for another week. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Yerk's got to run. I got to run, too. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. Peace.